I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you in the most holy faith. And certainly the weather took on a cold turn, as it were. Yes, it's been quite cold and chilly. I pray that all of us may keep ourselves well. Do be very, very careful and keep yourself warm and keep yourself in good health. Now, the topic this morning is about giving, concerning giving. Now, I rarely speak on this topic. I think at the very most in my last 17 years of serving here, I think I spoke this topic at the very most 3 times, I think, at the very, very most. So today I'm going to touch on it again because we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we come to the part on giving. Now, I guess some preachers fight shy of preaching this topic because they don't want to be noted as people who talk about nothing but raising funds. And then some are being suspected of raising funds for their self-interest, and that is why preachers don't quite normally like to preach on this subject. But since we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I think it's good that we consider this subject this morning. Concerning giving. Now we sing this hymn, "Make Me a Blessing," and we sang it earlier on, "Make Me a Blessing." Give as it was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you, be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. And the chorus goes like this: "Make me a blessing, make me a blessing, out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today." Now the question is, do we really mean it when we sing this hymn, "Make me a blessing"? Would we give as it was given to us when we were in need? Do we give? Now the question is, why should we give? All right, I want to consider 3 things this morning. Why should we give? And how should we give? And how should what we give be administered? So 3 things. Why give? Now we give because we want to express our love to the Lord and express our gratitude to Him for all that He has done for us. Now when we consider this truth, that He died for us, that He shed His precious blood for us, He gave His all for us on the cross of Calvary, and that He took upon us, took upon Him our sins, and He suffered on our behalf the penalty that should have come upon us. I think it is only reasonable that we come to the conclusion that we must be giving. Yes, we should be doing that. Now, but in reality, how much do we give? In reality, how much do we really love our Lord? Now, it's easy to talk about giving, but when our pockets are touched, I can tell you that it is not so easy to give. Yes, if you don't want to give, you can really give 1,001 excuses as to why you would not want to give. Now, I remember the times in our mother church in Singapore in the very, very early days. I think I could have told you this before. Yes, when members of the church in Singapore were urged to give, there were some people who were opposed to the idea of giving to missions. They were quite opposed. And they argued in this manner. They said that, why should we be giving to the first world churches in the first world country, like Australia, for example? They are well enough to take care of themselves. They are well enough to build their own churches. We should not be helping. Yes, well to do enough to take care of themselves. So we should not be helping. Now, so don't give to the people in the first world. And then when it came to giving to the third world, they said, why give to the third world people? The third world people are so poor, they cannot be trusted with money. So don't send money to them. So don't give to the first world, don't give to the third world. Then whom do we give? We don't give to nobody. We don't give to anybody. Yes, so that was the kind of thinking that some people had in those days. And all in the name of good stewardship. Now the truth is, I can say for certain that these people were really very, very tight-fisted. Now why would they not do otherwise? Would they not do otherwise if they truly loved the Lord and appreciated this truth given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's the one true living God. Yes, he was absolutely rich, but he gave up heaven's glory and took on human flesh to be born in the home of a poor carpenter and raised in the home of a poor carpenter. Yes, he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor. For what? My dear friends, in order that we might be rich, in order that we might be saved, in order that we may bless with that great glory that will be ours someday. Now, if we truly love him, would we not want to see that his great commission be fulfilled? He has given us this great commission. Go ye into the world, go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He has given us this great commission. My dear friends, if we truly love him, we must be fulfilling this great commission. It is therefore our duty to give, to try to fulfill this great commission. So we give, my dear friends, to show our appreciation of his love for us, and also we give to show our gratitude to him. Now, why else should we be giving? We give to maintain our public worship, of course. Now, we enjoy the comfort of worshiping in this church today, and the Lord has very graciously provided us this place for us to worship him, a place which we can call ours. Now, you know, in Australia, not many churches have this privilege of a place that they can call their own, a place where they can hold their worship, a place there where they can hold their various church activities. But thank God, the Lord has given us this place. It was not this case all the time. Yes, in the beginning, we met in a home for 1 year, and then subsequently for the next 4 years, we met in a community hall. And then it was only in the 6th year of our history that the Lord gave us this place. My dear friends, we must be very, very appreciative that the Lord has given us this place. But we must make sure that the public worship here be maintained. Now, if we don't maintain this place here, this place will run down very, very quickly. So we give to maintain our public worship. Now, maintaining of our public worship, of course, includes maintaining the minister who ministers to the spiritual needs of the congregation members. Now, this kind of maintenance is very, very biblical. Now, in the Old Testament time, under the Levitical system of worship, the priests and the Levites, in other words, the spiritual leaders of the people of God in those days, were supported by the tithes and the offerings of God's people. And also parts of some of the offerings were also given as food for the priests. Food for the people who serve in the temple, or food for the people who serve in the tabernacle in those days. And so Paul makes it very, very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. If you could just turn a few pages back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. I'll read for you this verse. All right. 1 Corinthians 9, 13. All right. Let me read this for you. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple? They serve in the temple, they live off things of the temple. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Now the principle of support for the Lord's servant is further given in the same chapter, verses 9 to 11. All right, let me read for you. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now if the ox worked in those days, the ox must not be muzzled, the ox must be allowed to eat. Now likewise, if the servant of the Lord serves, he must be allowed to eat, he must be supported. God Does God take care for oxen? Of course he does. Or seeth he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploughs should plough in hope, and that he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Paul is saying here, if the ministers provide spiritual food for the congregation members, and it is only reasonable that the congregation members supply to the physical needs of the minister. Now today, to some extent, we are still supported by Mother Church. Yes, but we must aim to be self-supporting. Someday down the road, I hope not too much in the distant future, we will be completely and absolutely self-supporting. Now, I'm thankful that some churches that Mother Church supported over the years have become independent. They have become very, very self-supporting. And that is what we should aim to be doing. So, my dear friends, remember, we give for the support of the public worship of this place. Yes, including, of course, support for the minister who ministers the gospel. Now, we give also so that we might support the work of the Lord to fulfill the Great Commission, something that I said a little already. The Lord's work requires men and women willing to offer themselves as living sacrifices. They need our prayer support, of course. But friends, they also need our monetary support. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. Not everyone is called to be a minister of the gospel. Not everyone is called to be a preacher. But friends, every one of us here is called to pray, and everyone up here is called to give. Yes, called to pray, called to give. And we must give, and we must see that it is our duty to pray and our duty to give. Now, we give also to adhere to this principle, and that is, those who have ought to be giving to those who do not have. And this principle is laid down for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14. All right, but keep your finger at 1 Corinthians. I'll be coming back to that. 2 Corinthians 8, 14. Paul says here, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Paul is saying here that today you're well-to-do, God has prospered you, give to those who have not. Someday you might be in want, and those people who have, to whom the Lord has given much, yes, they will be supplying our needs. Now that's the way we ought to operate. Those who have should give to those who have not. And the Lord indeed has prospered Australia very, very abundantly. During the 4 years of that the world went through the global financial crisis, Australia went through that period practically unscathed. Yes, the Lord actually prospered this country materially. Now, when the Lord prospers us, we must ask ourselves, why does he prosper us? Why does he prosper? What's the purpose? My dear friends, is it not to give us the opportunity to give to those who are poor? Just as Paul was urging the Christians in the city of Corinth to give to the poor saints in the city of Jerusalem, he urged them to give. He said, today you have abundance, give to those who are poor. Give to those who are in the city of Jerusalem, the poor saints, the poor believers in the city of Jerusalem. Now, for decades, the Lord has been prospering Singapore materially. The Singapore dollar is still quite big today. It has been big and is still quite big today, although not as big as the Aussie dollar. But thankfully, members of Mother Church, of our Mother Church in Singapore, understand the purpose as to why God has been prospering Singapore and prospering the church members in our Mother Church in Singapore. They understand. They understand that the Lord has been prospering them to give them the opportunity to give to support churches overseas. And friends, we are one of the beneficiaries of the goodness of God shown to Mother Church. The Lord showed His goodness to Mother Church, and Mother Church shows the goodness of God to us. And so we are recipients of that goodness. Mother Church has been very, very exemplary in her giving. We should follow the example. Yes, should the Lord prosper us, let us follow the example of Mother Church. Very, very generous in her giving. Now, we give also for our spiritual growth. You see, giving is in the very nature of our Lord. The Lord gave. He gave His all. The Word of God says in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." He gave His life, not just gave something, but He gave His life a ransom for many. "I give my life for you," the Lord says. "What hast thou given for me?" "I gave you my life. What have you given for me?" Yes, and we all, my dear friends, who are saved, are indeed a very, very privileged people. We are children of God. Yes, and we are saved to conform to His image. We are to become more and more like the Lord. Now, if we want to be more like the Lord, then we must be more giving. My dear friends, the question is, how well have we been giving? Now, talk is cheap to say, "I want to give." I can tell you, talk is cheap, but when, as I said earlier on, when it touches our pocket, it is not that easy to give. Yes, listen to these exchanges between two Christians in Cuba, one an older convert and one a younger convert. The older one was named Theophilo, the younger one, Christabel. One day, Theophilo said to Christabel, "Christabel, if you had 100 horses, would you give 50 of your horses to the Lord?" Christabel said, "No problem, I give 50 horses to the Lord." Then Theophilo asked the next question, "If you have 100 sheep, would you give 50 sheep to the Lord?" She said, "No problem, I give 50 sheep." Then the next question, "If you have 100 cows, would you give 50 cows to the Lord?" "No problem, I give 50 cows." "Now, but if you have 2 pigs, would you give one of your 2 pigs to the Lord?" And Christabel turned around to Theophilo and said, "Theophilo, that question is very unfair. You know I have 2 pigs. You're asking me to give 1 pig to the Lord." Of course, you see, when it comes to giving, really giving, it is not so easy. Talk is cheap. Yes, Christabel didn't have horses, didn't have cows, didn't have sheep. So it was easy for her to give her 50% of what she had. But when it came to pigs, she had 2 pigs, hard for her to give. It was going to hurt if she gave. But friends, giving is a sign of spiritual maturity. Yes, when we are matured, when we are growing in the faith, we give. Yes, it is only when we are not growing, not spiritually matured, that we will hold back and not want to give. So friends, if we want to grow, if we want to be more and more like the Lord, be prepared to give. And then we give for the purpose of prospering the church. Not materially, but spiritually. When we give, we are prospered. Yes, not materially necessarily, but spiritually. Now consider the churches in Macedonia. Now the churches in Macedonia would include Philippi, the church in Philippi, the church in Thessalonica, and the church in Berea, 3 churches. All right, this was what the great apostle Paul had to say about these 3 churches. They were poor, perhaps undergoing persecution, yet they gave liberally as if they were rich. I read for you in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Read for you. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." In other words, Paul was saying, "I'd like you to take note of the grace of God shown to the churches of Macedonia," these 3 churches, "how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of the joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now materially they were poor, but they were rich in spiritual graces. Graces of God, rich in faith, rich in hope, rich in love, and of course filled with joy in spite of their poverty. And they were urging the great apostle Paul to allow them to give. They said to Paul, we want to be in this fellowship of giving. We want to give. In spite of the fact that they were poor, they gave very, very liberally as if they were rich. Now, today, there are churches that are spiritually poor, materially rich, but spiritually poor. There are churches here in Australia that are actually quite rich. They own properties upon properties. Yes, and then when they need money, you know what they need only to do? Just sell one of the properties. That's all they need. If they want to raise funds, they just sell one of the properties. That's why you see some churches are up for sale, because the church runs out of money, the church just sells one of its properties. But spiritually, these churches are really poor. Why? Because people don't give. Yes, the churches are spiritually bankrupt because today they are no longer faithfully preaching the true gospel. That's the reason they have fallen away from the truth. In the book of Revelation, we see a very, very poor church. Rich materially, but very, very poor. I refer you to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. I read for you concerning this church. Paul said, the Apostle John here wrote concerning the words given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord said to this church, the church at Laodicea, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou would cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That church was lukewarm. God said, the Lord said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will spit you out of my mouth. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It was a materially rich church. We have need of nothing but spiritually poor. Friends, it's better to be materially poor and spiritually rich than to be materially rich and spiritually poor. The churches in Macedonia were poor, yes, but they gave. Yes, as a result of which they were materially rich, rich in the graces of God, rich in faith, rich in love, rich in hope, and rich in joy and rich in peace. Yes, filled with abundance of joy. My dear friends, when we give for our own blessings. We give for our own prosperity, our own spiritual prosperity. Now then, we give also for His glory. You see, what honor we give to the Lord when we give. You know, when we give, we are actually making a statement, you know, a very, very powerful statement when we give. What we are saying when we give is this, that this God of mine is absolutely faithful. I'm honoring Him, I'm praising Him for His faithfulness. Yes, I recognize that He was faithful in time past, He's faithful now, and He will continue to be faithful in the future. That's why I dare to give. I give. So when I give, I am actually making a statement of praise unto the one true living God for His faithfulness. So why do we give? We give to express our love for the Lord. We give to express our gratitude to Him. We give to maintain our public worship, which of course includes the maintenance of the minister of the gospel who is ministering in the church. We give to support the work of the Great Commission. We give for our own spiritual growth. We give to prosper our church. We give to prosper ourselves spiritually. And we give for His glory. How should we give? How should we give? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now I read for you, 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. All right, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, instructing them concerning this matter of giving. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. In other words, we must be prepared in our giving. Lay in store, be prepared to give on the Lord's day. Plan to give. Don't give haphazardly. Don't give on impulse. Our planning, our giving must be planned, so that when the offering bag comes around, when we put in the offering, that is exactly the amount that we want to offer to the Lord. Now, in my years of serving in the church, I've heard and I've seen how people gave when the offering bags came around. Yes, many people actually were not prepared in their giving, including leaders in the church. And I've seen that when the offering bag came around, they would very, very quickly pull out their wallet, put their finger in, or open up their handbag, take out whatever they need to take out, or put a hand into the pocket and pull out what they think is money. And then they pull out their money, and when the offering bag comes around, they pull out a $50 note. Actually, what they wanted was to pull out a $10 note. But pull out a $50 note. But too late, the offering bag is right in front. So, and the person felt so embarrassed with wanting to put that $50 back into the wallet or into the pocket, into the handbag. So the $50 note goes into the offering bag. But in the eyes of the Lord, how much do you think was really given in the eyes of the Lord? I think you know the answer, $50 or $10. But friends, that's not the right way to give. We must be prepared to give in a very, very prepared manner. And then also, sometimes it can be quite funny. You open up the offering bags. You see dockets in the offering bag also. Yes, people think that that is money, and they take it out, and they put the dockets into the offering bag. Now, friends, when we give, let us be sure that we give regularly also. That's how we ought to be giving. On the first day of the week, meaning on Sunday. Yes, in those days, the churches had already started to worship on the first day of the week, meaning Sunday. On the first day of the week at the worship service, give at that time. Let the giving be consistent, let the giving be regular. And that's the best way to give. That way we'll never miss giving. Now, if we are not regular in our giving, and if our giving is very accumulated, then when we give that huge sum of money, we think that we have given a lot. Yes, and we might think that we have overgiven. My dear friends, actually we have not, because we have not been giving regularly. That's why we give that way. But that's not the right way to give. The best way to give is to give regularly and consistently. As the Lord has prospered us, let us give. And that's what I want to talk about next. As the Lord has prospered us, let us give. And the Word of God likes us to understand this very, very basic truth, that success actually comes from the Lord. Psalm 75 tells us very, very clearly, Psalm 75, 6 and 7 tell us very, very clearly that our success comes from the Lord. For promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but it is from the Lord. The Lord is judge. He puts down one, he sets up another. Yes, the Lord wants us to understand that promotion comes from him. Now, when the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land led by Joshua, because Moses was coming to the end of his service, yes, the Lord, through Moses, told the children of Israel, when you get into the promised land, when the Lord prospers you, remember this truth. Yes, that it is the Lord who gave you strength to get your wealth. It is he who gives you the who gives you the power to get wealth. Understand this truth and never let yourself forget this truth. My dear friends, let us understand this truth. Our prosperity comes from the Lord. Yes, He gives us good health, He gives us strength, so that we may be able to attain success. So when we are successful, let us remember that our success comes from Him. Yes, so if He has prospered us, let us give as He has prospered us. Now another thought we should bear in mind when we give is that our Lord is watching us when we give. Did you realize that? He's watching us when we give. He knows why we give and how much we give. One day, the Lord was in the temple of Jerusalem, and He could have sat anywhere He wanted to sit, but He sat right opposite the treasury of the temple, and He saw people putting money into the treasury. And then this is recorded for us in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. I read for you Mark 12, 41, 44 to 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld, in other words, He saw how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. The rich people, of course, gave more, 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which made a farthing. And He called unto Him His disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance. They gave out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She had 2 mites, she gave all her 2 mites. It's clear, the Lord knew exactly how much people gave that day in the temple of Jerusalem. Yes, and surely He valued the 2 mites of the widow more than He valued the big givings of the wealthy people in those days. The 2 mites were all that the widow had, and she gave all her 2 mites. Now understand this truth. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So if the Lord has prospered us, let us give according to how He has prospered us. Sometimes we ask, how much should I be giving? We give as much as the Lord has prospered us. There was this man who went to church one Sunday morning, and then the offering bags were coming around. He took out a $10 note with the intention of giving $10. Then he saw that one of the ushers that was collecting the offering that morning was actually a multi-millionaire. He was holding the bag and coming around to collect the offering. Now, when he saw the multi-millionaire, he very quickly put his $10 in his pocket and took out $100. And when the offering bag came around, he showed the $100 and put into the bag. Why did he put in $100? Because he saw that this wealthy person was going around to collect the offering. He felt very, very embarrassed, and he felt that he should be giving more rather than be so stingy as to just give $10. But friends, in this church, of course, our ushers go around to collect the offerings on the Sunday morning. But can you imagine if it were the Lord Himself who went around to collect the offering? How much would we give? Think about it. How much would I give if the Lord would collect the offering for me? How much would I give? That's a question for us, each one of us, to answer. And when we give, let's not give grudgingly. In other words, don't give reluctantly. Neither give out of necessity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In other words, we must give not as if we have been forced to give. We must give cheerfully. Now the word cheerfully here means hilariously. Hilariously. I said this before, I think, to you. One day, I read in our church bulletin in Singapore this article written by someone in the church urging people to give. And she made use of this word hilariously. Let us give hilariously. I thought it was a mistake. I very quickly called up the church office. I said, there must be a mistake. I actually called the church office. I said, there must be a mistake. We ought to be giving cheerfully, not hilariously. Does the person know what it means to be hilarious? The answer came back from the author of the article. And she said, in the original, the word cheerful is hilarious. All right, give hilariously, and that's how we ought to be giving. Give hilariously. Yes, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a hilarious giver. And how should our giving be administered? How? And that's what I want to talk about finally. How should the giving be administered? Verses 3 and 4. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, and when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. See how concerned the great apostle Paul was in seeing that the money given was properly handled. Who should be couriering the money from the city of Corinth to the city of Jerusalem? Who? Paul made sure that the people who carried the money were people appointed by the church, approved by the church. In other words, they were seen to be honest people. These must be the people appointed to carry the money to the church in the city of Jerusalem. Yes, and the principle of propriety in handling money must be observed in the church, and this is very, very vitally important. The handling of money must be well above board. And in our modern situation, of course, what it means is our funds must be properly audited. And thank God, over the years, our funds have been audited every year. Now, in our Bible Presbyterian Church situation, let us understand this truth. A lot of power is vested on the session, and a lot of power is vested particularly on the elders. Now, this is not a congregational church. In other words, we don't make decisions based on the vote by the congregation. We don't do that all the time. All the decisions are made in the session and made by primarily by the board of elders, if we have a board of elders. So, my dear friends, when you are electing people into holy office, make sure that you elect people who are very, very responsible. People who are seen to be honest, people who have good standing. These are the people that you should be electing, and not just anybody. We have to be very, very careful. And in those days, in the infant church, when there was a need to elect deacons to see to the management of the physical affairs in the church, these were some of the criteria that the apostles put in place for the election of the deacons in those days. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, the apostle told the Christians in those days in the early church, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business of looking after the physical matters of the church. People who handle money must have an honest report. Vitally important. And the people whom we elect must be wise in managing church funds. Yes, they must be wise in managing church treasury. Let's understand, when people give, their purpose of giving to the church or giving to the Lord is for what purpose? It's for what? It is for the extension of God's kingdom. Yes, that's the intention of people's giving. Isn't it very true? When you give every Lord's Day, you say, I give to the Lord. And you give to the Lord for what purpose? To see to the extension of God's kingdom. That's what you want to see happening. And that money that people give is hard-earned money. And when people give their tithes, they actually give 10% of their income. That is hard-earned money. And some churches, my dear friends, sit on huge sums of money. And then some churches, there could be elders in the church that are very, very narrow in their view when it comes to giving. Remember the church that I talked about early on, Mother Church? They could be very, very narrow in regards to the idea of giving. Yes, narrow in the thinking with reference to giving. And they think that it is good stewardship. to conserve. They say we must keep as much money as possible, and they say that's good stewardship. But conserve for what? Conserve for what? And very often when you get to the very bottom of the matter, you find that these people actually are not really very, very interested in conserving for the sake of, they are really not very, very interested in conserving. What they are really very, very interested in is to have the power to manage huge sums of money. That's all they are interested in. They want to have the power to control. They want to have the power to manage big sums of money. That's all they are interested in. And then when they talk about conserving, they say, well, this is good stewardship. But actually, they are not interested in good stewardship. They are only interested in exerting their power. Friends, I would definitely discourage people from giving. If the purpose of giving is not for the extension of God's kingdom and not for the purpose of building up people in the faith, yes, I would discourage you from giving. If you ever detect that the money that is that you give in this church is not for the purpose of building up people in the faith, not for the extension of God's kingdom, I would discourage you from giving. Yes, but if the purpose is really to give for the extension of God's kingdom, of course I'll encourage you to give. Now, the context of the of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is actually also given to us in Romans chapter 15 verses 25 to 27. I'd like us to look at this passage, 25 to 27. Romans 15, 25 to 27. Romans 15:25 to 27. Paul says, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." All right, minister unto the saints. "For it has pleased them of Macedonia." Remember, I told you about Macedonia, the churches in Macedonia, which would include Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica, and Achaia. Achaia is the church in refers to the church in Corinth. Corinth was in Achaia. "For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." Verse 27. It has pleased them. It's pleased these Christians in Macedonia and Achaia truly, and their debtors they are. Yes, these people were debtors to the Jewish Christians in the city of Jerusalem. I'll explain that a little later. Yes. "For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." The Gentile Christians, including those folks in Macedonia and in the city of Corinth, had received much spiritually from the Christians, the Jewish Christians from the city of Jerusalem. The Jewish Christians had ministered to them spiritual things, fed them with spiritual things. And now it is only right that they should be helping them when they are in physical need. So in that sense, they owe it to help the Christians, the Jewish Christians in the city of Jerusalem, to help them. So in that sense, they were their debtors. And now relief was very, very much needed for the Christians in the city of Jerusalem. And that's why Paul was writing to the church in Corinth to urge them to give, to help the poor saints in the city of Jerusalem. And Paul was also wanting to make sure that the money will reach them. What's the point of the money being given, but the money didn't reach the recipients? So he wanted to make sure that the money would reach the intended recipients. And so that's why he said, I want to make sure that those people who are going to carry the money are the people whom you have appointed, people whom you have approved. Now in the year 2004, on Boxing Day, remember there was that great tsunami that swept, that killed quite a lot of people in the Indian Ocean, in the countries surrounding the Indian Ocean. Quite a lot of people died in Indonesia, in a few in Thailand, some in Burma, and quite a few people died in Sri Lanka. In all, I think about 330,000 people perished, were killed by the tsunami. Now, funds were then called for to help the folks in the city in Sri Lanka. And so there was this minister who went to Singapore to present the case for help needed for Sri Lanka. And the people in Singapore, in our mother church, were very, very moved, and they wanted to give. And so this minister went back to Sri Lanka, and money was collected, and the amount collected came to about $250,000. And we were wanting to help also, so in a small way, we wanted to give, and we wanted to hitch a ride with Mother Church. Now then it occurred to Mother Church that it was only wisdom that before they sent the money over to Sri Lanka, that they went over to Sri Lanka to have a look at what was happening there. So they sent two elders over to look at the work in Sri Lanka, to see how much preparation was made to provide relief for the victims. And when they went there, they were disappointingly shocked, because nothing was done. Absolutely nothing was done. So can you imagine, if the money was sent, where would the money go to? The money would not have reached the people who needed the money. So in the end, Mother Church didn't give, and we didn't give also. And I think that's wisdom, friends. So we have to make sure that people who hold holy office to manage funds must be people who are wise, who know how to manage money well. Now, talking about social relief, we believers in the Lord, for the love of Him, must be active and must be compassionate, and to show our love in a very practical manner. The churches in Macedonia have set us a very, very good example. They were poor churches, but they gave liberally. But they gave liberally to whom? That's one question that we must ask. To whom? All right. I'd like us to once again look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, first of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. All right, verse 1. Verse 1, that will suffice. I read for you. Now concerning the collection for whom? For the saints, all right? You take note of that, for the saints. Then I'd like us to look at another verse. Look at another verse. Okay, Romans 15. Romans 15, the verses we considered earlier on. Romans 15, verses 25 and 26. Okay? 25 and 26. I read for you. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto whom? The saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints. All right. Now what's my point, my dear friends? My point is this. We must make sure that we are giving primarily to believers and not to unbelievers. For if we provided relief for unbelievers, we might end up preaching the social gospel and not the gospel of salvation from sins. If we did that, we are actually no better than the Rotary Clubs and the Red Cross. Do you realize that? No better than they. Yes, we are merely providing relief to feed the hunger of people and to cure people from certain kinds of diseases. We are not fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission is this: go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go and tell the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be providing any social relief. Don't get me wrong, okay? But what I'm saying is that if we want to manage a social relief program, if we have one, let us be sure that the promotion of the gospel must be number one. Our number one priority must be to give out the gospel. It is only after we have given out the gospel, then we can talk about social relief. Don't put the cart before the horse. The horse must be before the cart. The gospel must go out first, and the social relief follows. Let's remember that. If we don't, my dear friends, we would be in danger of preaching a gospel that is very social in character, which is not the kind of gospel that the Lord wants us to preach. Let us understand this truth. So why do we give? Our primary motivation must be love for the Lord and gratitude to Him. And we give to maintain our public worship, which of course includes the support for the minister of the gospel. We give to fulfill the Great Commission. Yes, there are people out there who need our help, not only our prayer support, but they need our monetary help. We give for our own spiritual growth. When we give, we grow in spiritual graces. And we give for the prosperity of the church. When we give, my dear friends, the church becomes richer in spiritual graces, such as hope, love, and faith. Yes, and we also will be filled with joy if we give. And how should we give? Our giving must be planned, regular, consistent. And we give as He has prospered us. Remember, when we give, the Lord is watching us. He knows why we give and how much we give. And when we give, let us make sure that our giving is properly administered. We must aim to have our funds managed by honest people, people who are wise, and of course, preferably people who manage our funds must be people who are spirit-filled. And we must make sure that the funds that are designated for certain places or for certain people reach those places and reach those people. My dear friends, let us give cheerfully as the Lord wants us to give. And remember what the Lord says? Yes, He loves a cheerful giver. So let us be the cheerful givers He wants us to be. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. Lord, we thank You for prospering us. We pray, O Lord God, that we may not take this prosperity for granted, but Lord, teach us to understand that when You prosper us, You are actually giving us opportunities to give. And we pray, O Lord God, that we may give wisely, we may give liberally, we may give cheerfully for Your glory. We know that there are great spiritual blessings in store for us when we give. So Lord, help us to understand this truth and enable us to give the way You want us to give. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.